You're listening to Fakeologist 55, where we go over the week's Fakeologist news in just 55 minutes. If you'd like to support independent media such as this, please consider a small PayPal subscription at fakeologist.com. Now, here are your hosts, Aberrato and Faye. All right, everybody. Hello. It is Wednesday, May 9th, 2018. This is Fakeologist 55. I'm here with my co-host, Faye. Faye, how are you today?
Hello, Ab, and hello, everybody.
Hello, world, in fact.
Yes.
We're
back. Small world.
It's a small world. We're back. We have another action-packed 55 minutes where we just tell everybody what's on fakeologist.com. And this is pretty much the only podcast that talks about psyops and staged HRD, PAR, hyper-realistic drills portrayed as real, or no one died, no one got hurt. We're just pretty much the only site on the whole wide web that talks like this and doesn't seem to be catching on too much around the world. I'm not sure why, but there's just a few people that talk about it. It's been I would say it's been a quiet week here in the world of fakeology, and the Discord server has been pretty quiet. Just the usual people are working away at the blog. How's Fakeopedia been this week?
Oh, Fakeopedia, we have some good developments. Seneca has joined. We mentioned that the other day already.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a discussion this week.
Okay.
Monday evening about how to evolve things and how to start discussing about specific topics. And we will continue Friday evening, European time 21.
Okay.
Gaia is also going to join, as Seneca told me. He wants to clear the air and to continue working on the Fakeopedia. And I would actually, by taking the chance, invite also Phil Blanks, who has already contributed to the Fakeopedia. Napoleon, who has said that he might join on Friday, maybe only listening. And
where will that be? Where will that...
Here on Discord.
Okay. On the audio chat? We're going to save that audio?
Yes.
Okay. Good. So it's mostly a European venture, mainly because of the time zone?
It's really great that Seneca lives in my time zone, so we can really easily find dates to discuss about topics, etc. I think that's really good.
Good. So Gaia, is he still active on Fakeopedia? Because I never know if he's on or off.
He is on the Fakeopedia, but he is no more an administrator because I revoked his administrator rights after some things which are going to be discussed on Friday. So I don't want to start with that discussion now without him.
Okay.
And he's still there, and he can actually do anything he wants, but he does not contribute at the moment. I don't know why.
Okay.
Maybe he wants to clear the air first.
Okay, good.
But Seneca has contributed something very interesting about the burden of proof, a concept which is of theoretical nature and could be helpful also for the Fakeopedia project.
Well, that's related to the court system, the burden of proof?
Yes, it's not only for the court. It's generally, in many fields it is used. And for fakeology, I think it could be quite important because from one perspective that is supported by most of the fakeologists that I have talked to, it is that if an event in the mass media is publicized and promoted throughout the whole world, and it has specific characteristics, then there is no question of burden of proof on neither side. It is just from the beginning, the hypothesis is that we have to do with a psyop and we analyze it as such. So it could be of interest if one wants to apply it on the psyop analysis. That could be interesting.
My main way of looking at the mass media events is they are fake until proven real. And some people might denigrate that view as auto-hoaxing, but I don't think so. I think the burden of proof now falls upon others to prove it's real, just because, again, I've said this a million times, after 9/11, it's proven that you can fool the entire world with an event and get away with it year after year after year, ad infinitum.
Yeah. I actually agree with that, you know, but the point I'm making is that for fakeology, this burden of proof does not apply at all, because fakeology analyzes the phenomenon as a deceptive phenomenon. And it's per definition not applicable, you know. It doesn't matter if someone says, oh, but I think it's real. Okay, then analyze it as real. I think it's not real, so I analyze it as a deceptive event. So the definition of ecology, I think, says that what you analyze as a fake event.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe some events you should not analyze, but if you do so, you do it as a fakeology, with a fakeology instrumentarium.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I do, and I even listen to old podcasts of mainstream media, and or radio shows, I guess, when they were 10 years ago. No one really used the word podcast. And it's fascinating listening to stories with the fakeologist's point of view, because you can really pick them apart and see where the deception is. And that's really why I enjoy listening to mainstream media, because it's so much easier to understand the contradictions that they lay out before us, because we know they're just trying to be deceptive. It's not because they're making mistakes. It's just because of the deception is tripping itself up. And the only way it rationalizes in my mind, if it's a phony narrative, and it makes so much more sense than people just being bumbling, like government, or stupid, or just making mistakes in general. I don't think these narratives are deliberately made to be wrong in so many ways.
And you brought some of your favorite radio show, if I'm not mistaken. This American Life, there was...
Many of them. That's all I'm listening to right now. Yeah. I've really taken a break from podcasts, conspiracy type podcasts. I'm just basically exploring the whole wide world of podcasts, just mainstream stuff, and seeing what I can listen to over and over again. And I picked this American Life mainly because it is one of the biggest podcasts there is out there, and has been for the last 20 years. And they spend a lot of money and use a lot of producers to create a lot of content. So it's really mainstream media. I have no problem saying that. But just some of the things they say, they are really telling the lies quite clearly. And I like to write them down and expose them, because I just think it's really important. So I'll bring one or two of them up in today's broadcast. But before we start, just want to say thanks again to Zyle Felix for all he's done and his contribution. He made a patron contribution. Thank you so much. And Maddie, who I'm not sure if he's posted before, and I think he has a login ID on the Discord, and he made a contribution. So I thank you so much. Really appreciate that. It's motivating. And just so people know, in general, we have different logins for the fakeologist.com website, from the fakeologist audio chat, which is fakeologist.com/audio chat, where that'll bring you to the Discord server, where there's text and voice chatting, and you can join them both and just send me an email basically about who you are, and I'll verify you on either site. And they are two different logins. So we have many, and we have Fakeopedia, which itself has its own login. None of these logins are integrated. It's just easier if you choose the same name, though, so we can keep track of who's who and not be confused. But otherwise, everything through my email, ima@fakeologist.com, and I do all the administration on this website. And I just got another email. I get these emails all the time that the website is too confusing. I'm not really sure it's that confusing. It's just a blog WordPress setup. We have points on the top where you can click. Those are all pages on the top that you can click. We have the blog entries that go in reverse chronological order. And on the right side, we have all the links. Everything is there. There's nothing else on this site. And the right.
The problem is only that there is too much info there, app.
Yeah.
And there's too much time to navigate through all this.
Yeah, there's a lot of info. I agree. There is a lot of info. Mm-hmm. We also have a voicemail called SpeakPipe, which you're the only one that's used it so far. But anyone can click on that. You don't need a membership or you don't have to give any email addresses, and you can just go to SpeakPipe and leave a message. And everything is here. I've got my Twitter. It's all there for you to take a look at. And once more, I also back up some of my favorite videos, nothing really recently, on FakeTube. So that way, in a month or 2 weeks or even an hour, the video doesn't disappear. And we have it on FakeTube so people can take a look at that. All right, so that is the intro, and we'll just do a quick break here. 55! All right. So we're trying to do this all in 55 minutes. I've already spent about 11 minutes or 12 minutes talking about just in general administration. I'll go first.
Yeah.
And sure. I'm going to talk about Lac-Mégantic, which is a small town in Quebec, which is one of the bigger provinces, French-speaking provinces in Canada. And 5 years ago, I can't believe it's been 5 years, they had an event where they said a train derailed in the middle of town and killed 47 people and basically took out the whole downtown. And I don't know this place. It's way in Quebec, which is a neighboring province, which is hundreds, if not 1,000 kilometers away from here. It's a long way away. And pretty much this event happened only a year into my Fakeologist website. Fakeologist.com has been up for about 6 years. And this event, I would say at this time I was pretty much, I hate to use the word auto-hoaxing, where every major media event I think was staged. So I had no problem looking at this from a Fakeologist point of view, and nothing has really changed my view on this event. Our prime minister at the time went and toured the place, and we looked at one of the pictures, and it looked like it was a layered picture where he wasn't actually there. But whatever the case, I think it is another HRDPARNGNDH. No one dies. No one gets hurt. And now, all these years later, we're finally seeing the result of what actually perhaps this event was for. And essentially, the government is announcing this week in Canada that they are going to create an 11-kilometer, another one of the favorite numbers, 11-kilometer bypass that costs $133 million, which I would say to start, because these things never get done on budget, to build the rail line around this little village instead of through it. Now, of course, the original reason why all these little towns in Canada and the United States have railways running right through them, through the middle, is because most of these places are railroad towns. There were no roads for cars or any other vehicles. They were built by the railroad. They are railroad towns. So of course the railroad goes right through the center of the town, because that's pretty much all it was, a railroad town. So I guess as the railroad becomes less important to create a network of transportation in North America, then the rail tracks that run right through the middle of the city are a little obsolete. And actually, if they're active, they could cause a potential hazard, because most of the stuff that rolls around North America is heavy stuff like natural resources, oil, gasoline, that kind of thing. So might not be the best stuff to go through. So how does a small town that probably has very little revenue pay for a huge railroad bypass to remove the railroad through the middle of the town? And of course, the best way is to call in the HRD PAR, the military that stages these events, and create an event with death and destruction in this case, or simulated death and destruction as we see it. And then you can motivate government, which is just you and me. Let's be honest. Government is just you and me and our money pooled together, and get us to pay for this beginning at, as they say, $133 million, just to move 11 kilometers of rail around the town. So that is the purpose for the most part of all these events. It's money, and it's to create an excuse to spend our money, taxpayers' money, to do these things. And this is very common. This is the main purpose of all these events. Just plain old money. And basically, if you want to look at it, stealing from the taxpayers or the government, which is just you and me by extension. So what do you think of that? That's
I would think that it would be great if they could finance this whole stuff through the victim funds, you know, when they collect money after such events. But obviously that's not the case, because that money goes to finance the, I don't know, these groups that are conducting all this psyops. It was interesting to me because I had never heard about this psyop, about this staged event. And I found out that there are three entries from 2013 on fakeologist.com and on Clues Forum. And I created a page already on the Fakeopedia with this material.
Oh, perfect. Make sure you put a link to it in the comments or give it to me and I'll...
So.
Oh, good.
I did. And the starting point was that Xaifilex asked if there is a list with the victims. And I found out that there is one on the Wikipedia, and so I thought, okay, let's do that page with the basic information, and the research will update. We can update it.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, I'm just looking. Very good. Excellent. So you did put a link. Very good. And that is the beauty of Fakeologist or Fakeopedia. And I really leave that whole website Fakeopedia to you, because you're the main one maintaining and administering it. So I have to admit, I don't look all that closely all the time, but
it's a great instrument. We have to improve it, and I hope many new persons come to join and help to develop it, because it's so easy, you know, to find material about all these events. It's the biggest resource we have now. And it has so much work to do still.
Yes. And you easily... How long did it take you to create a page on Lac Megantic, for instance, as an example?
That was the interesting point, because I thought today I need a template that I can just take and put the basic info in there without doing research myself at the moment.
Oh, good,
just
yeah.
Just to have... the date, the official name, the summary of the official narrative, the victims, alleged victims list, damage, perpetrators, links to research websites. So then I have a complete picture already.
Very good.
It is only a matter to write an article summarizing it as an analysis, which would take maybe 1 or 2 hours.
Yeah.
But for this first part, which is the basic part, it took me less than an hour.
Oh, good. Okay, excellent. So people can, once you have a template, it's a lot easier to do, and I think that's fantastic. Excellent. Yeah, so that's my take on Lac Megantic. It's not complicated, and they all seem to go the same way. This is how you do it. This is just a corporation that creates these events to further economic or infrastructure development. It's pretty simple stuff.
It has very interesting pictures also, images. on Clues Forum, they have published many of these images from that staged event, and they are so interesting to analyze because they have all these features that manipulated images have. So, and they are really good. They are well made.
Yeah, I have to get the images working on Fakeopedia. I'll have to try and make that a priority. Otherwise, I'll have to figure out another way to do it, a bypass around it, I guess.
It's not so important at the moment. You know, the structure must be developed and the entries, and then later on it is also time enough to put the images there.
Yeah,
I just wanted to say it's interesting for fecologists to have this material and to learn about the techniques. How do the people on Clues Forum, for example, how did they analyze these images? That's so interesting, and one can learn so much.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move on.
It's my turn.
Yes, let's do one. Yeah, you've got a list of things.
What can I take now? Shall I take a small one or a bigger one?
Yeah, whatever you want.
Whatever I want.
I like the Miles Mathis thing. That's interesting. That was topical this week.
I thought I'd take that, but I'm not so sure if I... maybe I need more than 5 minutes for that.
That's okay.
Or even 10. You know, because I'm new to this whole things here. You know that, as I said, also when I started coming to the Discord, mm-hmm. and I was reading about all these authors, and for me these are all just authors. I don't know them, and there always was something surrounding the story of Miles Mathis and mm-hmm. if he's a real person or a committee. On Clues Forum there was a discussion, and on Fecologist also. And then this week, a piece of Mindful, and I think it was Mark Tokarski, with whom I had an interview once on Fecologist.com, he published, or there were three pieces. One was published today. The first was Miles Mathis' Origins of an Enigma. An enigma is something that you have to solve. How is the word in English?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
A mystery, yeah.
A mystery, yeah, something like that. A riddle? Is a riddle something that has to be solved?
That's another type of puzzle. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like a puzzle. Miles Mathis' Origins of an Enigma from Kevin Starr, about many points that are suspicious about Miles Mathis. Then there was a very long piece from Robert Zerunkel. I don't know.
Robert Zerunkel, strange name, yeah.
I hadn't heard that name. It was the first time I saw it. And he wrote a really extended piece about also suspicious points concerning Miles Mathis. Maybe it would be interesting to emphasize that Kevin Starr made an analysis of the genealogy of Miles Mathis himself, showing that he... Oh, just a minute, was that Robert? One of these two guys made what Miles Mathis already did in his pieces, a genealogical research. Miles Mathis was criticized always for his genealogical research because there are obvious errors, and there is obvious anti-Jew bias in his texts. I will give an example only to show that I'm not making that up. His piece about Fidel Castro starts with, "Look at this face, look at this nose. Isn't that a Jew nose?" So, I mean, that's something that is very strong on his papers.
Yes.
Calls them.
Yes,
and
yes.
Then today there was extraordinary claims require extraordinary clones. And that's now an
announcement. Clowns, yeah.
Clowns, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And that's from Robert whatever, and an announcement from Mark Tokarski that it will continue to have a text about Miles Matis on Peace of Mindful. I would like to read some phrases of it because it is very important.
Sure. This is so confusing. Yeah. There's almost like a soap opera. We have Peace of Mindful, a blog by Mark Tokarski. And a lot of the stuff is very interesting. At the beginning, it started off just talking about people that transform into other people, and he used facial analysis, where he's analyzing the different parts of the face and showing how they're the same person, and most of the same people seem illogical, but he said, well, just prove me otherwise, because you can't just say they don't look the same when I'm showing you measurements that they are the same. So that's a very strange thing, and I don't know if he even talks about these things anymore or if they're even on the blog still. So that was a confusing, but I liked a lot of the comments on Peace of Mindful, and he also promoted a lot of the work by Miles Mathis. Miles Mathis has his own website, and he releases his posts in PDF form. He does not have comments, so there's no way to respond to them. Now, then we have a couple other blogs that are also people that write on Peace of Mindful and or comment on it. And they are also commenting on Miles Mathis on their own blogs. So there's a lot of conversation on many different websites about this. But the main thing, I suppose, that we're thinking about is Miles Mathis a real person, or is he a composite where many people are contributing to his website? And this is what the discussion has been centered on for weeks and months now, it seems. And then Peace of Mindful turned off the comments, so then you can't comment. And then he also started another blog just about Miles Mathis articles. And that came up, and then he froze that within a day or two as well. So there's so much activity going around here. I'm just trying to give a brief summary of what we're talking about here. And I don't even know sometimes why we're talking about it.
Yeah. What do you think? You know them longer, actually. I would like to hear when did you know about Peace of Mindful, for example? Is that?
Yeah, I don't know how. I might have just found Peace of Mindful as a backlink. As you know, if my blog is linked to from another website, I get a little message that shows that, oh, there's a link to my website on this website. And this is just a common thing that the internet has been famous for a long time. So many times you'll see, oh, what is this link to my blog? And you'll go to that blog, and that's how you discover stuff. That was always the intent of blogs, having interlinking to show a little bit of synergy. And that was the fun part about the internet. It's not such a big deal now because people have moved away from blogs and use social media. And social media is just very brief and very, I would just say, noise. But anyhow, so maybe that's how I found Peace of Mindful. And I've linked to it many times because I like some of the material, and I like reading the comments. And yeah, I should interview Mark. But just one thing leads to another, and it hasn't happened yet. And you talked to him, which was fantastic as well. But yeah, I'd like to talk to him. But I agree with a lot of the stuff that he talks about, and I agree with a lot of his conclusions. And I also agree that I like Miles Mathis material on some of the subjects I'm interested in. And he talks a lot about many, many different topics. I think he's right on about PSYOPs, though, which is my biggest interest, and how the media is used to manipulate people psychologically. That's my main interest. I'm not interested in physics or science or astronomy. Again, you can't be interested in everything, but those are the type of articles I promote about Miles Mathis, and I'll put those links on fakeologist.com. But other than that, this whole fighting and who is this guy, it's just, to me, it's just constant misdirection. And it's just noise. It's almost soap opera.
It is
noise, high school but it type
is noise
stuff.
Noise with the meaning.
Yeah,
That's my opinion on that.
Okay,
and that's what I would like to contribute to this discussion.
Go ahead.
About this topic, you know, the story, as far as I followed it, is that Peace of Mindful exists since 2015, starting with Mark Tokarski.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been contributors that have also been on Clues Forum and have been banned from there, Daddy Ho and George. And I don't know, there is one who has been on Fecologist, Blue Moon, and there are many people that write and that have gained the status of co-contributors on Peace of Mindful.
Yes.
And Mark Tokarski is the one who introduces Miles Matis to Peace of Mindful. And he does so in a discussion about Miles Matis in 2017 on February 15. There is a long discussion on Peace of Mindful that is about 78 pages. And there, among others, Mark Tokarski says that he met Miles Matis through YouTube and on a channel that does not exist anymore. He cannot remember what is the channel, and he introduces him and he says that he's a very serious person and he solved some of the big riddles of the 20th century and exposed the inner workings of the intelligence community, etc., etc. He has a very high opinion of Miles Matis, and he also participates in a meeting that took place in 2016. All the others criticize Miles Matis, and Miles Matis criticizes back, and the whole meaning from my understanding is that it is a circular verifying of authors.
Mm-hmm.
Miles Matis gets verified through Mark Tokarski. They both criticize each other, and the result, if Miles Matis is dumped now by Peace of Mindful, the result is that Peace of Mindful has gained much attraction, has now 902 followers, and is no more dependent on this character, Miles Matis. So this is maybe it happens by accident, but it could also be a form of giving value to or gaining attraction through practices as questioning and contra-questioning and what you called noise. That's somehow noise with a meaning.
Mm-hmm.
The noise results in people like noise, and they go and read that. And to be really honest, I'm not so interested in these topics that they bring. They do not talk about psyops that happen in the public sphere. They talk mostly about psyops of historical interest or out of the pop culture, Laurel Canyon and Jennifer Aniston or Sylvester Stallone. And I don't say these are not interesting topics, but I personally am not interested in these topics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of pop culture. Mm-hmm. Well, and Miles Matis is supposed to be in Taos, New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Taos. And this isn't really related to anything other than the fact that another This American Life I was listening to was an interesting story about some guy who was in Taos or somehow was in the area, and apparently Donald Rumsfeld, who was the instrumental Secretary of Defense at 9/11, his daughter lives in Taos, which I thought was a pretty funny coincidence, because Taos is if you look it up in a map, it's just a tiny little place in New Mexico, which has sort of been a spooky type place. And I just thought that was funny that allegedly in the story I heard that Donald Rumsfeld, Valerie Rumsfeld, his daughter, lives in Tahoe. So other than that, I had no idea about Tahoe at all. And I'm sure you probably never heard of it either before.
No, I didn't know. I didn't know the name. I thought when I heard for the first time Taos, okay, it sounds a little bit Asiatic or something. Laos, Taos.
Well, I think it's native Indian, and apparently there's only 5,000 people in it. So I'm just looking it up on Wikipedia right now.
So maybe she knows Miles Martis.
Yeah, well, if there's only 5,000 people, yeah, maybe there's a link somehow there.
But you know, Up, there is one last point I would like to make about this whole story. Mm-hmm. That now the problem that Peace of Mindful has with Miles Martis is that Miles Martis might be a committee. But if Miles Martis is a committee, we know who the authors are, because three of them are in Peace of Mindful. They say it themselves, Kevin Starr, Daddy O, and Josh. So the committee are these, Peace of Mindful and Miles Martis are the committee, and no one else.
Yeah, I don't, it's also confusing because I suppose real people are just not interested in this kind of topic to begin with. It's very spooky, and I'm mildly interested in it. I just like reading about trying to figure out what the media is and who's behind it, but I don't really claim to have any answers other than I just have commentary about it. So
I'm actually a little bit more interested than you because of Gaia, because I was interested in Gaia because we cooperated so much in the Fakeopedia.
Uh-huh.
And he had such a let's say contradictory behavior. He was fan of the Taikos, and then he destroyed his image of the Taikos, and he's so much contradictory that I cannot understand his real, I don't know, motivation. So that's maybe a reason why I was digging more. Otherwise, I would not even read it.
If it's confusing for us that have a pretty significant interest in it, just imagine how it is for most people who are not interested in it. Must just go right past them in terms of interest. So
good luck. We wish.
It's right now, it's just a big mess. It's just a big jambalaya. It's just a big stew. I hardly have the energy to try and sort it out. I like Miles Mathis's, whoever it is or whoever they are. I like a lot of the essays. I like Peace of Mindful. I like some of the comments. I know it's a composite, so it's not one voice, just like Fakeologist is not one voice. My voice is not your voice, and vice versa. They're just people that are interested in the media and trying to figure out what's happening in general, and that's why we come together in different ways.
Ring the bell.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, sometimes these topics are just so all-consuming, really.
I think that's the main aim that they have.
Yeah, they just suck up your energy.
Mm.
Now, what else can I talk about? Yeah, I'll just talk about This American Life episodes, and forgive me, but this is how my mind works. I get going on a particular vein, just like when you're mining for gold, and I just go down it. So I'm halfway through all the This American Life episodes. There's over 600. They're an hour long, so I've listened to about 200 or 300 hours worth of it. So it's interesting. A lot of it I skip through and I'm not interested, but I do try. And here is an episode where they're talking about the war numbers. And I always thought the Iraq war, where we're told there's over 1 million civilian casualties, you know, if the Americans are responsible for killing that many people, that should be huge. That should be a world story. And if the world's most civil, the biggest military in the world is responsible for killing millions of civilians. That to me is just genocide. I don't see how you could excuse it or overlook it in any way. And why isn't there a mass discussion about that instead of talking about Stormy Daniels and Donald Trump?
Who is Stormy Daniels, Abba? I hear this name all the time.
Well, it's a hooker he allegedly slept with or paid off. But again, it's a total distraction from, okay, what's more important? A million people dying in a war? That's a lot of people. Or a hooker being paid off. Obviously people are more important being killed than, and I don't care where they're from. If you're someone who is for humanity, then you should be outraged if a million people died. And this is where we got into an episode from 10 years ago where they're describing how they actually counted the dead. And it's quite interesting. And really, the revelatory part of the audio was just an interchange where they were examining the numbers and trying to figure out, again, how they determined it was a million or so. And the guy said, well, either the numbers could be right, or they could be totally made up. And I thought, this is where being a fakeologist is really handy, because most people are going to say, no, nobody is going to make up a big, impossibly high number. And as a fakeologist, you say, no, yeah, actually, it's the opposite. The big lies are the ones they do make up, because most people don't believe that they could get away with it. But it is the big lie that they do get away with. And that's where I thought, this is them describing revelation of the method about how they do it. They make up a huge number. So I'm optimistic that millions, over a million Iraqis were not killed in this so-called war. Or
yeah,
conflict,
we should
whatever.
Ask the Iraqis, actually, but the problem is that they would also make up the numbers,
right? Because sure. Yes, it works both ways. For the Americans to say, I'm not sure why you'd be proud if a million people were killed when you, in fact, they say it was a surgical war where they had laser guided missiles that only take out the bad guys. How could you possibly?
That's not possible.
Of course. And how do you know who's a bad guy, for God's sakes? A bad guy and a good guy, the only difference is what's in their mind. Physically, they look the same. You know, come on. It's crazy.
I was thinking, you know, there is one aspect where I think that this interpretation might be right. Because, you know, in fact, if you do an aggressive illegal war, invading a country and making military operations in that country, you would not actually have a reason to publicize, oh, we killed so many people, and even if they were all bad or something, you would actually not do that. But it is also and always also a psychological aspect to threaten, and of course the other one, the necrophiliac and evil, let's say, aspect of that psychological operation, that is, we are so strong, we can do everything and nobody can say anything. We can kill a million people and the whole world has just to stop and can't do anything.
Yes, yes, I agree.
That could be a reason.
I agree with that. That's the main reason. Yes, yes, absolutely. Like the nuclear weapon, don't get involved with us. Don't cross us, because we have the most powerful bomb in the world. We can end everything right now. Same with, okay, we just took over a country, or we're running the place, and yeah, a million people got in our way and we got rid of them. Crazy. It's a crazy idea, but it strikes huge fear into any potential enemy, I suppose. So if
it's a psychological
yes.
operation also. And you know, I want to say something else. I thought for that of that for the first time you brought up the topic of Guantanamo the other day on fecologist.com, and I avoided reading it.
Yes.
Because I had a very strong aversion to confront the possibility that what I was believing was Guantanamo. I was engaged, actually, you know, with all this communication stuff on Twitter and et cetera. And I was supporting Andy Worthington and his project about Guantanamo. So I had a very strong aversion to confront the possibility that it could be really just a psyop.
Mm-hmm.
All these pictures could not really be real. They are so absurd and so
well. And the so you were believing were you being disturbed by the torture aspect of Guantanamo, where they are practically gloating and bragging about their techniques?
Not, yes, that was one point. The other point was that there was big outrage in Europe from several academics, and Guantanamo was the end of culture, let's say.
Mm-hmm. Why? Because it was such an evil place where they were...
No, because it was accepted by the world, even though it should not be accepted, and nobody could stop it.
Yes, it was immune to the Geneva Convention, basically.
Yes.
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 Yeah, I agree.
And I started from that point on thinking about it, and I traced back that much, not all, but much of the communication about the Iraq War and the Guantanamo and the kidnappings in Poland, the secret NATO, torture prisons, and whatever, were actually publicized by so-called government critical outlets. For example, Salon, with these big names of journalists, Glenn Greenwald, and what is the name of the other
Snowden.
One?
Snowden.
And Salon... No, not only Snowden, the journalist who went to Yemen and made also a documentary about the situation in Yemen and the execution of Alvar al-Awlaki, or I don't know.
Yeah.
With
drones. I don't know.
All this material.
You know more than I do about it.
Yes, but all this material was publicized by journalists that now are funded by, I think, by Google.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not absolutely sure. So they are actually establishment. So this makes the information very untrustworthy.
Yeah.
So if they are emphasizing that torture is being done, kidnappings are being done, there is an open door where I can start to research. But I'm not convinced, I have to say that. I know that in wars people die, maybe that there are not 1 million, but I know of one story concrete of that was in the German parliamentary, and it rose very big waves. It was about the bombing of a truck in Afghanistan, a very concrete event where some about 100 or 132 persons, I think, were allegedly killed, and they were civilians, and this rose a big story in the German public sphere and in the parliament. But also this is very suspect, because 133 is a good starting point.
Yeah.
I question everything now.
Well, you should. And I have another link. We only have 5 minutes left, because we try and stick to 55 minutes. But related to that, again, back in 2005, which is only a few years after 9/11, there was so much talk about homegrown terrorism in the United States, where they were catching pre-crime. They used to call it pre-crime, and they still call it pre-crime, where they wanted to catch people while they're thinking about it, but before they do anything. And they were using methods that, according to the script, were entrapment like, where they would basically find Muslims where they could sort of wave the ability to get missiles in front of them and see if they'd bite and see if they would go for it. And they pretty much, when you listen to these stories, and they have to be stories in my mind, it has to be terror. I call it bad terror script writing, where sometimes I think that the FBI, they feed stories, the CIA feeds stories to the FBI, and not all agents are in on it, or maybe most of them are. So they're literally, scriptwriters are feeding real agents some of these crazy stories and seeing if the agency will bite on it. And if you listen to this one story that I titled, "The Missile Was Sitting on the Couch," where they literally gave this guy some kind of surface-to-air missile, SAM missile, that was without a detonator or a warhead on it. And the whole story sounds ridiculous. And now, the more I listen to the story, I think there's many layers of the deception, where I think there really wasn't anybody Muslim that was set up. I think that part is as a story too. Two levels. But if you listen to these stories of fakeologists, it's much, much more believable, in the sense that, yeah, you see that this whole thing is all made up just to make it seem like, yeah, the government is trying to chase down terrorists that were spawned from 9/11. And I'm not sure if there are real court cases. I tend to think that the ones that were thrown out and they were just demoted down to tiny little charges or misdemeanors. It's possible that they actually got knocked down to completely minor cases, if they were real at all. I don't know, because I think they do simulate court cases as well, or just say they happen. So, yeah, that's just two. We don't hear about homegrown Muslim terrorists anymore. They just are not part of the program or the scripting anymore. But they're just two examples that I found while I was listening to archives of audio from 10 or 12 years ago. So did you want to make a comment?
I tried to listen to it, but I have not yet ready to understand. This American life is too fast for me, and they have a very professional cutting and editing of
and
their
music.
Material. Yes,
yeah.
And music and yeah. Everything. And it's a whole, you know, atmosphere, a whole concept. I cannot really dig into it, or how to say it. But I wanted to say that there is a research that Cahem has done together with Rocello.
Okay.
About FBI and how in one particular city or region, I don't remember, I have gonna get it. It's on the Fakeopedia also, but it's also on fakeologist.com, where how they tried to involve Muslim and
a Muslim cleric or somebody, yeah.
Yeah, maybe it had to do something also with a handicapped person.
Yes,
I remember the whole story.
Yes, yeah, Cahem, I remember her telling us about that story. And that's actually why one of the links, maybe the last fakeologist link about the story, the Muslim story, I think I sent her a link to it in an email saying, hey, this is similar to your story, where they were trying to set up this bumbling typed guy who just wanted to be involved and be part of something. So it sounded like they were trying to set him up. But again, I think the whole story is a phony story, but it's so, again, you really have to try and figure out how many layers of deception there are to create these stories. But are they setting up real people? I don't know. Cahem said they were, but in her case. But it's just pretty interesting. Well, we only got one. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
We only got 1 minute left because we want to keep this short. Did you want one? Want to go over time just with one of yours, or should we wrap it up?
No. I just wanted to put the link to Cahem's and Rocello's video if I'm fast enough.
Okay. Put it. You want to put it in the show notes?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Well, we're at about 55 minutes, which, again, this is just a brief overview. We're not really getting too deep in anything. This is just some of the stuff we've come up with. Faye is a leading fakeologist. I'm still creating content on the blog. If you're interested in supporting it, you can buy a PayPal. That would be fantastic, or spreading the word. And I really appreciate everyone listening, and we'll try and come back next week about the same time or sometime next week, where we try and just bring up stuff that's been going on in the fakeologist world. And thank you so much.